Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about love. We've been talking about love
about love and love and more love. And we know February has also been known as the love month. And we know that, you know, though Valentine's Day is a man-made holiday and some of us have chosen not to celebrate it, many of us do. It's love in the air. And so all of our shows have been geared towards love and relationship. And one of the things we always talk about, for about, you know, during the love month, is we always focus on man and women relationships, you know, husband and wife, courting couples, all that kind of stuff. But we don't oftentimes hear a lot about the children. We kind of have a tendency to look at this as a grown person's thing. And so tonight, we want to do something different because we do love our children. And when you think about it, there is no love greater than the love that parents have for their children. I mean, that's a really great love there. You know, your children, even in some cases, you see where even with the, you know, you love your spouse, your mate, definitely that's an unconditional love. But there's a love that a mother has or a father has, especially a mother that they have for their child. That's just it's just, you can't even explain it. These are the people that can make you the angriest, but they also could bring you the most joy. And so oftentimes we as parents become parents, and some of us became parents that we planned it, we prepared ourselves, many of us didn't. We became parents, and before we knew it, this life that we're responsible for is in the world, and now we have to just go through and walk through the process and make mistakes out of ignorance and do different things. And so with that being said, our special guest tonight, I'm going to welcome her into the studio, but I just want to share a few things before I welcome her in, and she's going to definitely paint this beautiful picture for us. But one of the things I found interesting with our guest that's going to come on tonight is that she is a published author. She is the author of Taking Back Our Children, A Parent's Introduction to Spiritual Warfare. I think that's powerful because we as parents, especially believers, it's our responsibility to war on behalf of our children, to pray for them, to teach them, give them a moral compass, teaching them the word of God, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to praise, teaching them how to worship, because teaching them how to know how to go into war for themselves as well. This is what we're supposed to be building. Just as much as we're building them up on, you know, go to college, get an education, get a good job, be a good person, go to school, get your work done. You know, we're instilling all this in them to teach them to be productive adults. But I think sometimes we miss the key element, and the key element is their connection, their vertical connection with God. Have you prepared them for this world? We prepare them for the natural, but have we prepared them for the spiritual? Do they know how to be able to pray when things get rough and be able to be thankful and pray when things are great? So anyway, without further ado, I want to welcome into the studio on tonight. Chandra, are you in the studio tonight?
I am in the studio tonight.
Well, awesome. And welcome to Processing the Pain. How are you tonight?
I am doing very well. I'm very excited for what's in store for us tonight, and I'm definitely honored to be here.
Awesome. I am so excited to have you here, and I'm excited about what God has in store for our listening audience on tonight. And before we go any further, I'm just going to let our listening audience know, for those of you who are listening in via the Internet, or those of you that's listening in live in the studio, if you know anyone that has a kid, whether they be toddlers, babies, toddlers, teenagers, young adults, if you know anyone that have kids, give them a call right now. Text them, give them a call, and let them know that they need to tune into this show on tonight, that this show is important. And so I just want to give them a second to do that, because I think that this is really important. I think that parents need to know. We need to know, what do we do? How do we begin spiritual warfare on behalf of our children? But more importantly, How do we pluck out those seeds that we planted due to ignorance? The words that we've spoken to our children that didn't really give life but gave death or left scars. How do we begin to turn that harvest around? How do we begin to weed out what's bad and begin to replenish it with what's good? So, Chandra, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor because most of our audience listening, some people know you, some people may not know you. So just paint this picture for us so that we could get a perception. Who is Chandra?
All right. That question kind of always stumps me. It kind of cracks me up, always that deer in the headlights. But I will first and foremost say that I absolutely, head over heels, beyond a shadow of a doubt, love God. I love the kingdom of God. I love everything about him. I love learning how the kingdom operates and watching him work, watching him heal and restore, watching him just do what he does best, which is be that number one to us and to our lives. And so I always say and start off above and all, like that is number one. So if you meet Chandra, hopefully my prayer is that you meet a genuine reflection of the heart of God for you in that season. I'm also, as you said, I'm a local author. I do life coaching. I am a mentor to a lot of people. I minister a lot in areas of healing and deliverance and just that emotional healing. And I'm a single mom of three teenagers. And I became a young mom. I was, by the time I was 21, I was already divorced with my third on the way. So I got thrust into this thing called motherhood really, really early. And it has been a long, challenging journey. You know, God has been faithful every step of the way. But that is my life at this point, as my children are all growing. My son, my oldest, is about to graduate high school this year, and we've made it through some years that I didn't think we were going to make, and it was truly the love of God and God training me about his love through my teenagers, through the traumatic times, through the challenges I didn't think we were going to come out of that has brought us to where we are today. I am very active in my community and my church. I just love ministering to women, other moms who are out there struggling as well. And then I work a lot with at-risk teenagers and kind of coach them along and kind of a surrogate mom to them too. So my kids always laugh. They always say I have a ton of kids, and I kind of do. It just is there.
Amen. Well, I'm going to ask some questions because you have mentioned that you were a young mother, and by the time your one was on the way, you were finding yourself going to be a single mother.
Yes.
How did that dynamic work for you? Because there's a lot of parents, or I see not just mothers now. It used to be where it was just mothers, but now there's really fathers. You know, it's just parents that's becoming single parents, and that's been really difficult for a lot of parents. How did that affect you, and how did it affect your interaction with your children?
It was terrifying. It was terrifying. I actually, like I said, I was a young mom. So I had my first when I had just turned 18. So he was born out of a lot of my own rebellion, my own choices as a teenager and my own rebellion. And that my rebellion, I ended up getting pregnant and trying to do the right thing. I married the father, and that ended up with two more children, but it just wasn't what God had for me. It was just a very volatile situation. And I remember that terrifying place that I came to of I had a decision to make whether I was going to stay in this toxic, abusive relationship, and this was what my children were going to see and then repeat, or was I going to break free and trust God? And that was terrifying. And I wish I could go back and knowing what I know now, because while God was faithful, there was a lot of stuff that I still had to grow up. I still had to experience. And I look back and I think I was not nearly as present for my children as I should have been. I actually battled depression really bad after my youngest was born. And God knows what he's doing. I really did not expect her. I joke around, she's my miracle baby. She was not supposed to come along. I had done everything to prevent getting pregnant again, but she came. But I look back and I think of God's wisdom in that, because going through the separation, going through the divorce was so devastating to me. And my depression wanted to just swallow me whole, but I couldn't do that because I had this newborn baby. And I had to function. And so that was the very beginning stage. It started off rough right off the bat.
Well, I can imagine, because I too had, you know, a single mom at the birth of a newborn, a couple of months old. And so I could definitely only imagine some of the emotions that you had to go through. So now, being a young mother, now you have a newborn, you just realize you're getting ready to go through a divorce, and I know now who you are. And so my question would be to you is, are you the same person now that you were then, or did you have to go through some things to get to where you are now?
I am nowhere near that person that I was then. I look back and I don't even know who she is. Like, wow, I was a mess. And I definitely had to go through some things. I was saved at 19, so at least when I had my baby and I was going through my divorce, I was saved. I had a very, very strong support system in my church family, and they were really my lifeline through that time. And I remember them speaking life into me, telling me that I was going to be ministering to others who would be going through these same things. And at that time, I couldn't have cared less about anybody else. I just didn't want to go through it. But through the years, we've battled and dealt with, you know, I've had to overcome my own drug abuse, my own alcohol abuse. I've had to overcome and break the cycle of the same kind of unhealthy, toxic relationships in my life. My middle daughter really battled some mental and emotional challenges that really ended up bringing me to my knees, you know, and that is where I look through, like, I've gone through so much through this journey and growing up and through these challenges, not being a good mom in those early years. But ultimately, it was in that God's faithfulness that I grew. It forced me to grow and came to a point, even it was almost life or death for my children, you know, and I had to really get on my face before God and really repent and really seek him, because there was no way. I was messing it all up on my own.
You know what, and that brings me to the question, because one of the things I said in the beginning was this, that we all, not all of us were where we are now, meaning we had to get and grow to this point. And some of us didn't have babies when, you know, AC, you know, I say AC after Christ. You know, a lot of us had babies BC, before Christ. So my question, you, because it's obvious that you made a lot of mistakes through this journey as being a mother, and you said, I was not a good mother, I was not a good parent. So that means that there were seeds that were probably planted based on your actions or what you said that you planted in your children. The result of that was, like you said, your middle child being going through some things, or our children going through some things. So my question is to you, at the pattern where you're at now, how did you begin? And I know you through prayer, you know, we know through trusting God, but how did you begin to implement, to begin to turn things around, to begin to correct what you have wronged when it came to your children?
Yeah, so early on, you know, as I said earlier, I had gotten saved really young, and I was really blessed to be a part of a really awesome powerhouse group of women that taught me. I dove right in when I got saved too. I was in the deep, I was swimming in the deep end of the pool right off the bat, spiritually. And I knew with one of my children when I was younger, I was actually prophesied over with my middle daughter when I was pregnant with her. And God gave me something very specific then about her calling, her destiny, her purpose, and with all my children. And as well as even kind of the guidance and the warning of keeping them before the Lord and praying over them when they were young and doing all these things, then I didn't listen. I forgot. You know, what happens, we get this wisdom or we get this word and then we move on and life happens, distractions happen, we have our own growth to go through. And I forgot about those. I let go of a lot of those. And as I got caught up in the worldly things, like, you know, relationships and into the partying, and I've never done anything halfway. So if I was doing something, I was doing something wholeheartedly. So if I was partying, I was partying, you know. And I had gone through multiple stages and phases of this, what this looks like. And what started, God never lets go. He kept bringing things back to my heart. And one of the main things was reminding me of my daughter's call. And early on, because of that call, I got to studying about things like spiritual warfare. I got to learn about what's happening. I always call the spiritual realm behind the curtain. You know, and I got to learn what happens behind the curtain. And I started, God just started bringing me this understanding and this knowledge into how to address it, what to do. Like I said before, as I was going through my things, I had forgotten it all. And it took coming to a head of where she was about 10 years old. And at this point, my son and my youngest, I mean, everybody was just going through a living hell because it would just be like, just constant tornadoes, you know. And I'll never forget, I think my youngest was probably 8 years old and told me how she felt that every time that one of these episodes would begin, that it felt like the devil was coming in our house just wanting to make us all kill ourselves. I mean, that's just how really bad it was, and she was only eight. And
wow.
What happened was he reminded me who I was, and he reminded me what was happening of, he's like, you know how to handle this. You know how to kick this out. You know how to start taking authority, because it was kicking my butt and it was going to destroy my children. And I got back. I got timing, got connected to a church that had I wouldn't even say it was backslidden. I mean, I had backslidden, but then I kind of semi came back and kind of walking the fence a little bit, you know, when we were like not fully going to church, but we're not like totally being opposite, you know, not out partying so much. And that was kind of how I justified it. But it really came down to that repentance, that surrender, because my disobedience, the stuff, the seeds that I planted, the stuff that I knew better, I had allowed the enemy to use my kids as punching bags. And it took, number one, that repentance. And I talk about this experience a lot in my book, because a lot of parents don't know. You can't battle what you don't know. You know, there's a lot of things about spiritual warfare that's out there that people, you know, are either afraid of it, or we talk demons, and, you know, there's so many different ideologies within the church itself about what is what? What is spiritual warfare? What are demons? What is this? The reality is there's another kingdom that we have an authority over that directly influences everything around us, including our children. And there are things that are passed down generationally that, without calling it out, without recognizing it, to deal with it, it just gets stronger. And so what we see now is our kids being attacked with, you know, we know, like, suicide is, like, the number three cause of death for kids, you know, and we hear things like the rebellion is just through the roof, you know, there's so much self-destruction going on. And a lot of it, I believe, 100%, is that parents, we haven't been awake. We haven't been awakened. We've let, you know, everything kind of fall asleep and just kind of go with the flow and become just allowed what's happening around us to just happen, and we call it just life. And for me personally,
I didn't want to interrupt you, but I just wanted to hit a point what you just said. We, first of all, you have so many people that's in the church that don't understand, because they're thinking from a carnal sense, that they don't understand the spiritual warfare. As you said, there's another kingdom that we have dominion over, but if we don't know it exists, if we don't know that we're in spiritual warfare daily, and I know it's, you know, we hear people say people could go to church and realize that you could say when something bad or negative happened, you know, oh, the devil, the devil, the devil. But it gets beyond, because you have to get to a point of spiritual maturity through a relationship with Christ, that you begin, and through his word, that you begin to understand that you are in a spiritual warfare, that you know, that you could call forth your protective angels, you know, and that you have to be able to, you know, speak to the spirit and not the person. And oftentimes we as parents, and I've been guilty of this, that my son is going through, he's not mature enough to know that he's going through a spiritual warfare, but he's going through. Then if mama's not conscious, then she's fighting her child, and she's not fighting the spirit. She's fighting the child, and she's fighting the spirit. And so, in essence, our children are getting beat up twice. They're getting beat up from the spirit, and then they're getting beat up from us, because we're now trying to fight a spiritual matter in the natural.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. So I just wanted to, I didn't mean it, hopefully I didn't take you from your, where you were going with this, but I just thought I really wanted to drag that out, because I wanted parents listening in that have, you know, that may be going through something right now with their children, young adults, you know, whatever that age bracket is, but going through that, is that we have to realize that it is a spiritual warfare, and we have to deal with spiritual things spiritually and not naturally.
Right, right. And then, you know, and to the other side, there's always those, and I explain this a little bit in the book as well, that it doesn't mean that we blindly just go, oh, I'm just trusting Jesus with them. I mean, there is the practical piece. There are the safeguards. Like, the reality is we can't protect our children from absolutely every influence in the world. You know, there's so much occultic things that are out there, and things that are just seeping through our culture that are the normal, and they're cool, and it's okay. And, you know, to be quite honest, when we are coming from the perspective of going, no, that's bad, no, that's bad, no, that's the devil, no, it's this, really what that's doing is kind of breeding a rebellion in them to, well, why? Because that's just human nature. But as we explain and train our kids to be able to recognize, to be able to use wisdom, to be able to tap into the spiritual things, because, and I talk about this as well, that the scripture says that when you study about where these strongholds come from, they come from fleshly desires and fleshly things that go unchecked. So it's those little things that we don't want to surrender, whether it be pride, whether it be lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, these things that we want to compromise into what we're listening to, those little things that we don't want to surrender and be obedient to the Holy Spirit about what he's telling us individually, then that gives a legality for these things to have a manifestation in our life. And now it's a stronghold because we didn't check it at the flesh level. So as we're equipping our kids, we can't constantly be looking and telling them that there's a devil around every corner, because what we focus on is what's going to manifest, and we need to teach them that. So it's teaching them by example, which is the number one, that we have to be able to recognize it and step away. And be like, I don't want to deal with that because I know where you come from. And I use an example with my children. You know, I went through a phase of absolutely no secular music, absolutely nothing, like trying to do that. And you know what? It was an exhausting losing battle. But what happened is the Holy Spirit started giving me the wisdom of teaching them to listen to the lyrics for themselves, teaching them rather than immediately cutting off, teaching them to listen, teaching them to recognize, because after once they realized what was being said and what was being spoken and what they were putting into their subconscious, they didn't want it anymore because it just wasn't, it was repulsive to them. And
amen.
I could sit there over and over and just tell them, no, you can't listen to that. No, you can't watch that. No, you can't do that. But unless they actually came from that fullness of the understanding and going, oh, no, I don't want that feeding my life. And I've got some hard-headed children. We've had to bump – I mean, some one in particular has had to really bump her head against the brick wall a few times. And, you know, on that part, when we talk about a mother's love, I will say that she has been the one that has taught me the passion of God's love and the unconditional place that God loves us from. I've had to love her past myself, past everything I could possibly do, and allow her to bump her head, allow her to crash and burn, allow her to do these things that that everything in me wanted to scoop her up and protect her from. But every time I tried, I used to tell her that I felt like I was protecting her from this big bear, and she would just jump from behind me into the bear's arms. Like, it was just this constant. And, you know, and in getting a little more transparent, I'm talking about things like running away. I'm talking about things like where that tough love has had to come to where, you know, we want to protect our kids from everything, but even God has that tough love, that permissive will that's like, if you're going to push that hard, then I'm going to let you bump your head. And I'm going to let you have to crash and burn to feel so you can come back. And that is the hardest as a mom, to love from that place. That is the most difficult.
What I want to do, because we're getting halfway through the show, but what I want to do, because we have people that have come in since you began to talk, and I just want to do a summary for those who are just tuning in. Tonight's show is Warring to Win, A Mother's Love. And we have published author Chandra Mandina on the line, and she is the author of the book Taking Back Our Children, A Parent's Introduction to Spiritual Warfare. And so she has actually introduced herself, and she's just going into some of the things about spiritual warfare as it pertains to our children. And she shared how her being a young mother and going through divorce with the third child on the way, and choices and decisions that she made that affect her children, and how what she had to implement and begin to do to begin to erase the things that her being a mother and out of ignorance doing and making decisions that directly affected her children. We are now at where she's speaking of some of the things she had to go through and the things that she had to give up and the things that that she couldn't continue in. And I wanted to relate to that because, you know, we don't understand as parents when we are flip-flopping or when we are walking the wall, so to say, when we are in the areas of gray, and there's no gray with God, but we walk in areas of that because we don't want to make a firm decision. And what we don't realize as parents is that when our children see certain things, single parents, when they see you dating one person after next person after next person, guess what? That's been loaded into their database. The database is the brain. Brain is like a computer. So they're taking mental notes to everything you do. When you say, don't lie, but then you'll tell your child when the phone is ringing, tell them I'm in the shower. Tell them I'm not at home. See, we think of those things as not that serious, but yet guess what? It's going into the database. When we say, well, drugs are bad, or this is bad, and we don't want them to do that. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that, but we continue to do those things. Guess what? It's going into their database. So the whole thing is that these things are going into our children's database, and we, in essence, are You know, we're bringing in spirits. Keep in mind, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. So guess what, moms and dad, and I just got to keep it real. MCD Network, what we do, keep it real. Moms and dad, single moms and dad, if you are involved in masturbation, pornography, and you think you're hiding these things because it's in the privacy of your room, you think you're hiding these things because of whatever thing, whatever the case is being, and your kids may not never, ever see it from you, but guess what? You're allowing a spirit to come into your home, and that same spirit begins to attach itself to vessels. Vessels that are willing in the sense that they don't know how to war against it. And so I'm using that, but that's the same thing with drugs. That's the same thing with any kind of lust, whatever those things you're lusting for. One of the things we do, and we don't think nothing of it, like you said, is the music, shows we watch. We're all guilty. I would think, I can't speak for everybody, I'm guilty. I've been guilty of certain shows that I just enjoy. I watch them, it's a plot, and I'm looking at it. But now I'm starting to think, ooh, I can handle this show, but can my child handle this show? Is this a good show for my child to be seeing, And so I have to start now, guess what, being uncomfortable. I have to start being inconvenienced. I'm saying these words because it may sound selfish, but that's the things that parents think about. But shoot, because we grew up in, Chandra, but we grew up in a generation, and I don't know how, age comparison, but most of us grew up in a generation where, one, kids was to be seen and not heard. Two,
right.
Don't do like you do what I say. And that's what we heard. Don't do like mm-hmm. I do what I say. So if mama was cussing and fussing, we were told, don't do like I do like I say. And if I tell you no cussing, don't you cuss. And so we see these patterns, like you said, generational curses that go from us to our kids, to our kids' kids. And if somebody don't get a hold of that generational curse, if somebody don't see the spirit behind it and begin to war against that spirit, then that spirit will go on to our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. And like in the Word of God, it says it goes down to the third and fourth generation. And somebody has to be able to be strong enough in the things of God to say, this is not going to go on anymore. So I'm going to step back and let just continue, but I just really wanted to hit on those things and bring our guests up to date. One of the things I do want to do, Chandra, if you don't mind, is we have listening audience, and if there's anyone in the listening audience that's tuned in tonight's show, if you have a question or a comment, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know you have a question or a comment for our guests. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know you have a question or a comment, and we'll bring you live. And at any time, just feel free to do that, and we're going to continue on with our guests.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, everything you're saying is so right on, and it's funny because I talk about that do as I say, not as I do mindset in the book as well, because that, I think, has been one of the most damaging things to this generation. And kids are not stupid. They're not, especially as they're growing, they are onto us. Like, you do not have them fooled. So, I always kind of joke around, when I look at other families and I have, like, my children's friends, and, there's some stuff going on that their parents are clueless about. And, and I have experience. My kids are not perfect. My kids have gone through some challenges and have had to make their mistakes, and kind of being in the public eye, per se, makes it a little harder, because everyone's watching my children, what is she to say? But you know what? I think one of the wisest things that my youngest daughter told me one time was that it is very frustrating to her to be treated like by adults, like they're not respected, or they don't have opinion, or they can't have an opinion about something because they're just teenagers. And that is, what are we telling our kids? What are we telling? If we grew up in that generation and we grew up with that, well, guess what? We were kind of a hot mess. that kind of made us a hot mess. And so now we have these kids that we're either passing on the hot mess to them, or we're going to break it, or we're going to wise up and break it. One thing that I really wanted to talk about today that was on my heart and I keep hearing is, you know, the definition of love, and I know you'll recognize this definition, but, you know, contending for another's highest good until it becomes manifestation, until it's its full manifestation. And as parents, as moms especially, I think that's the biggest fight, is that biggest part of our love is really contending for our children's highest good. And to remember that that contending is natural with, yes, discipline and, yes, relationship and being involved with our kids and having those open lines of communication. But a lot of that as well is being available so that they can talk to you. I mean, some stuff, like I said, with my children, they're not perfect, but there's not a whole lot of secrets, you know, because everything always comes out. But they have very open relationship with me and communication, and sometimes I'd rather not know. Sometimes not just blow a gasket, you know, to be like, what? But especially as believers, we want our kids to love Jesus. We want our kids to be on fire for God. We want them to know the Lord and to grow up to be mighty men and women of God. But we forget sometimes that that loving them and bringing them to that place has a lot less to do with our words and everything more to do with our actions. We can speak and take them to church until we're blue in the face, but if we're not walking it and we're not talking it and we're not showing them what grace is, showing them what forgiveness is, showing them what unconditional love is, and that unconditional love is not expecting something in return. When you're praying for them and fighting for them, but in, you know, that I don't need to be telling them all that. And then I go and do what he tells me to do and how to love them.
Well, let me ask you this question. Woo, that you got me fired up on that last portion. Really got me. What I had to learn with my son, teenager, he's going through the typical teenage type of, you know, some things. But what I had to learn was one thing, and then I'm going to ask you a question, is this. I had, after a certain age, and, you know, and I don't know what that is. Some people have identified that age to be 12. You know, and the Bible says that Jesus' ministry started when he was about 12. But what I had to realize is that after a certain age, that, you know, we've been left and been given the responsibility and stewardship of our children to guide them and lead them and protect them and nurture them and everything. But at some point, we'll never stop being mothers, but we have to realize at some point that this young adult, that this young person is our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And what I had to do with my son, because I came from old school. I'm just keeping it real. I came from old school. Kids are supposed to respect you. They ain't going to raise up against you. And you teach them that from the cradle to the grave. You teach that and you implement it in them. That's where I came from. But at some point, what I realized about that I'm not going to say that was so bad, but what I'm saying is at some point, I had to begin to look at my son, this young man, trying to find his way through life, and I had to begin to look at him like my brother in Christ. Yes, I'm his mother. Yes, I love him. Yes, I get irritated about certain things. Yes, I want to automatically kick in the mother mode, but I had to start telling myself that he's going to be accountable to God like I'm accountable to God, that I have to start looking at him because of the ministry that God has in him. And I have to recognize that just like I had to do my battle because the enemy is constantly trying to kill the vision, kill the baby within us, kill what God has called us to, that he's having the same things. And the best thing we could teach them to do is warfare. That brings me to my question. My question for you is this. How did you teach your children to begin to do spiritual warfare?
You know, I will tell you this. It's because they've just watched it. I have tried to teach. I have tried. I minister with healing and deliverance. So they've been to deliverance. They've seen demons manifest. They've seen me minister. They've seen all this stuff. I've tried to talk to them and teach them step by step. But as teenagers, they kind of are like, Mom, you're weird. They won't really do it because it's weird. It's not natural. But I will tell you this. This is how God has shown me, and he told me that you just do because they are watching you. Because my son has been in situations that, well, I'm just getting transparent. There was it was probably maybe 2 years ago, and my other daughter and I, we were really going through some challenges and my own stress, the own stuff. I ended up collapsing. And it was the strangest thing because I was semi-conscious on the floor. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak, couldn't open my eyes, but I could hear what was going on. And my kids are calling 911. All this stuff is going on. And my son comes up to me, lays his hand on my forehead, and immediately starts rebuking this thing and commanding it to come out in Jesus' name and to loose its grip on me and starts praying over me. What? I wouldn't have ever thought that he would do that. In front of Mom, he wouldn't do it. But when rubber meets the road, it's the watching, it's the seeing, it's the modeling. You know, and just like, you know, when you touched on respect and, you know, the old school and having kids respect, you know, your elders and that is such a very powerful value. But I teach this to parents all the time. Respect is not necessarily a quantifiable thing that you can teach or explain away. It has to be seen. It has to be modeled. So, you know, you can't talk to your kid a certain kind of way and then think that true respect is going to be given back, because what you can't do what you can't see. So if you don't see what it looks like, how do you know to do it? You may get a compliant child. You may get one that is just going to stay quiet and maybe out of fear not say anything, but that's not respect. Respect is honor and communication. And so we have to model those things. So in answering kind of how my kids do know, and I have found out by the grace of God that they actually do know because they do it when I'm not looking. But they've learned by seeing. They've learned by watching me. They've learned by hearing me. They've learned, you know, like I said, I can explain it to them till they're blue in the face, but that's not going to do anything. But it's that example and having them see the results and have them see it work.
Amen. Well, we have a caller, so I'm going to bring in the caller. Caller, area code 909, last four, 8874.
Well, good evening. I tuned in the middle of the show, and I just had a comment because I love what both of you talked about, what you touched on, and that is that, you know, as parents, we do have to, you know, we can get so busy telling our children what to do that we're not teaching them what to do. So I love that you guys are discussing teaching them what to do, being an example for them, because when we become so dictative and authoritative, we still have to stay in a place where we're guiding and we're parenting, because that is our job. So we can't let the children take or the youth take over. But they spend so much time at home, and then they go out into the world, so they do have to know what to do when that parent is not around. So I love that you guys are talking about instilling in them their own relationship with God and learning how to do that spiritual battle on their own. I just wanted to comment that, because that a lot of youth don't get that these days. You know, like you said, they sit in front of the TV, or they're listening to certain music, but where is the parent when they're listening to that music? And again, it's not that you know, sometimes you may say, don't listen to that music, or sometimes you may start having a discussion, opening a discussion, asking them, why are they listening to it, and what are they getting out of it, teaching them how to reason. And so when we're teaching them how to reason, they have to have that foundation in God first and foremost, of course. So I just love this discussion, because once we give our youth that foundation in God, we don't have to be in their presence for them to be able to start reasoning and making better choices.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I love it. I love it. Rich, rich dialogue. And I don't know if you want me to reveal who you are, caller. So I'm gonna. Sometimes people don't want to be revealed because they want to be under the radar. So, caller, I don't know if you want me to reveal who you are.
Oh, I don't mind.
Well, this is my co-host of Woman to Woman, and this is Minister LaDon that joined us, and so great question, Minister LaDon, great comments, I love it. I am so enjoying this dialogue because you guys are both mothers, and I don't know if Minister LaDon would be willing just really quickly. Chandra, because it sounds like her testimony is probably very, very similar to yours in the fact that she was a very young mom and just having her daughter, the youngest daughter. And I don't know, Mr. LaDon, if you just want to share just a quick snippet, because one of the things I think that I love about what Chandra said is that, you know, we're young, so we don't even have enough life experience to be trying to teach somebody else life, you know, as a parent.
Right.
But it happens to many people that, you know, I thank God with my second son that I was 40. I was almost 40 when I had, you know, my 14-year-old. And totally different because I was more prepared. But let me tell you, I thought I was prepared because I was stable. My partying life was over. You know, I wasn't out in that scene too much anymore. I thought I had a home. I was financially a lot better off. I felt like I was more mature. But guess what I found out? That even when I thought I was ready, I wasn't ready. Because now I'm dealing with some emotional things, that my unresolved emotional things that I'm dealing with. And now I'm going through some emotional things. I'm just going through a divorce. He's 2 months old. Marriage is dissolved. I'm going through some emotional things from when I, you know, that I never even knew existed until I had to start implementing again. And so I started realizing that even when I thought I was ready, I wasn't ready, and that it's a constant progression, a constant growth. You're learning something new constantly. You're growing constantly. You're processing through pain constantly. And so your kids are that constant thing that's constantly going through this stuff with you. And I think it's really important that we remind them, and I remind my boys all the time, there's certain stuff that don't belong to them. There's certain stuff
right.
That's my guard as their parent, as me having certain things I got to work through. And I constantly remind them, you cannot allow the mistakes of your parents. You cannot allow, if your dad doesn't want to be on the scene, guess what? That's not your baggage to carry. That's his baggage. And so I'm constantly reminding my kids, you don't carry our baggage. This is my baggage. I own this. You don't have to carry it. And you put it where you need to begin to process, mentally process, and emotionally process what's yours and what's not yours. And the stuff that's not yours, put it in that spiritual trash can.
Right.
You know,
very
so,
true. Very, very true.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You know, one thing I will say, you know, I don't want to come in and take over the show, but because you asked me the question, a couple things I will share is that, you know, when I had my first daughter, I was 15 years old. I had all four of my daughters by the time I was like 23. And so, you know, when I was bringing my daughters up, the biggest thing that I thought was good mom, be a good mom. And so that meant being nice, you know, being nice or being what I thought was loving. But the thing that changed the way that I parent and the thing that changed my life and changed their life is I went through a vertical leap seminar, and I put my girls, all four of my girls grew up in Boss the Movement for over 15 years. And I know people on the show hear us talk about BOSS, they hear us talk about vertical lead, but it changed the way that I parent my children because I didn't even know the stuff that I was downloading into them. I had no clue. I had no idea. And I started learning how to, again, teach my children to have their own relationship with God because they can't live off mommy's faith. They can't.
Right.
When mommy's not there, they need to know how to pray for themselves. When mommy's not there, they need to know how to make right decisions. They need to know how to step into a room and recognize this is not a room I'm supposed to be in as a 12-year-old girl or a, you know, 15-year-old girl, or this is not a situation that I'm supposed to be in. And the only thing that helps them with that, of course, is the Holy Spirit. We can teach them all of the things, but we can't teach them much more than we can't teach them anything more than the Holy Spirit can teach them. And them learning to have that Spirit down on the inside of them where they can, you know, wake up from nightmares and automatically begin to pray or sit around in a room full of people and say, you know what, I think it's time for me to leave. And it's not that they don't make bad decisions some of the time, but they have such wisdom as young people to know they know better. They know better. And a lot of times as young people, we don't know better, but they know better. And therefore, because they know better, they can begin to do better. And so that is the thing that changed the way that I parent my kids. And now they're all, you know, between the ages of 19 and 27, I think. She's going to be 27. And, you know, I can walk through the house and I'll hear worship music playing in one room, you know, somebody reading the Bible in another room. Just all different things that just let me know that no matter what I've instilled in my whole, Coach D, I heard you say, you know, I was older and I had a stable job. I had, you know, money at that time. All of that stuff, it's good to have, but what's great to have is the Holy Spirit, because there's nothing in this world that I could have given my girls that is better than their relationship that they have with God. And so,
yeah.
You know, again, that's what I would share with everyone.
Amen.
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 So, Chandra, we are actually coming towards the end of the show, but I want you, because you are I want you to be able to share with everyone, of course, the name of your book. Where can they go buy your book? Do you have a website? If people, you know, if somebody had questions or, you know, of you, how can someone get in touch with you and how can they purchase your book?
Actually, and for tonight, if anybody, for people who sign up on to subscribe on my website, ChandraMedina.com, I'm actually offering a free copy of my ebook for anyone who signs up tonight. But after that, it will be available on Amazon, and it's called Taking Back Our Children, A Parent's Guide to Spiritual Warfare.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to repeat that just one more time, again, your website and where they could go
yes,
to get
ma'am.
The book. I want to make sure that they got it. So, okay, perfect.
Absolutely. It's Taking Back Our Children, A Parent's Guide to Spiritual Warfare. And the website is ChandraMedina.com. That's ChandraMedina.com. And if you subscribe at the bottom, that will give me your email address, and then I will be able to send you a link to a free copy of the ebook.
Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, it's just really been some rich dialogue, and I'm sure that our listening audience have really gotten some nuggets out of this. I want to give them a chance. If you are listening in on tonight, we just want to give you an opportunity. If you have a question for the guest or a comment, if you dial 1 on your dial pad, that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we could bring you in. If not, Chandra, if you could just, what would be, I'm just going to say in closing, if you had anything that you could say as words of wisdom to our listening audience, specifically those that may, I'm going to say teenage, because it seems that teenage those teenage years are generally normally the hardest. It's a transition for the children because they're too young to be adults and they're too old to be children, and they're going through this stage of trying to find themselves and knowing what you know about life phases. According to Boss, about life phases, we know that that teenage years is when it shifts from some key authoritative figures like parents and teachers, and it begins to shift to the peers who lack the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to speak, but that's who become the most important part of our teens' lives. So what would you say to those parents now that's raising teens that may have not always started off in the Word, but they're there now and they're going through? Because I don't care how spiritually mature we are, the attacks still come. Don't think for one moment because you're sure that you're a preacher, that you're an evangelist, a prophetess, or whatever. Don't think for one minute that the same attacks that happen to everybody won't happen to us, because they do. Because that's a way to get us off guard. That's a way to get us to lose focus. So I'm just saying, we get the same attacks. Your pastors, they get the same attacks you get, you know. So what would you say to those parents that's going through right now? What would be your words of wisdom?
Don't give up. Don't give up. Remember that this season will pass, but that you have more power than you may feel like through the storms of this season and these years, and that your prayers and what happens behind the door in your prayer closet, they do shift things. Pray over your kids. Get to know them, be connected with them. But don't stop praying, and no matter what it looks like, keep encouraged, keep calling on the promises of God. You keep being that reflection of God's heart for them, and keep pressing, and again, don't give up. And remember that God's promises do not come back void ever, and that even if you don't see immediate results, you keep going and you keep fighting, you don't let go. Because your faithfulness, he will honor. And I know firsthand that, you know, him honoring my faithfulness and my perseverance in this is why, you know, my kids are even still alive. We've gone through those kinds of things. So I know that, and I know that he will protect them even from things that you don't even see around the corner. So don't give up. Don't give up and just keep pressing through.
Amen. Well, we thank you for that. And we want to just thank our listening audience for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. We want you to stay tuned for follow us on Tuesday, or next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Woman to Woman. We welcome you to join us. Yes, we know it's Woman to Woman, but gentlemen, you are welcome to tune in. We have some exciting things that's going to be happening the next Processing the Pain. We actually are going to be having coaches Don and Charlene on, and they're going to be going over the 6 stages of commitment. Powerful show. So you might want to tune in on next Thursday, because we're going to have a follow-up show on Tuesday, February the 28th, where we're going to have a 6 stages of commitment Q&A session. Well, you'll get a chance to ask questions and get answers to that 6-stage commitment as it pertains to relationship. So feel free to tune in with us again. Again, Chandra, I want to thank you for being a blessing on tonight, for being willing to come and sow seed on Processing the Pain. We thank you for being candid and open about your experience, and we really appreciate you. And we just want everyone to know, thank you again for tuning in. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and have a blessed evening.
Amen.
Lord, I surrender.